Isn't this a good message? But isn't it kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much of my love had conditions. Love with conditions cause enabling. It causes someone to feel hurt, someone to feel used. It causes jealousy. It causes one child to be treated different than another child. It just causes so much junk. God wants to get rid of all of that. All right. Now, 13, by this we know that we abide in Christ, and he is in us because of his Spirit he has given to us. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. You know what's so powerful about this? The Holy Spirit, you cannot intellectually understand Jesus dying for your sins. But when the Holy Spirit reveals to you that you need a Savior, okay? Don't be so high-minded you think you don't need a Savior. See, where I maybe didn't know I needed a Savior in some areas, the more he's showing me my heart, the more I'm thinking, oh my God, I need a Savior. Thank God I have one. We have a Savior. We have a Savior because we need to be saved. What do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from ourselves living without love. We need to be saved from the enemy owning us and doing whatever he wants in our life. So verse 14, and we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now that's really powerful. That's not saying Jesus was a prophet. That's somebody saying that Jesus Christ actually came out of God and is actually God's Son for real. That he represents all that God is, that he actually came from God. And you have to have that revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, that God abides in him and he in God, that God abides in Jesus and Jesus abides in God. So they're all God. They're abiding together. They're hanging out together. They're one. And we have known and have believed the love which God has in us. This is the part where some of you have such a hard time feeling God's love or knowing it's real, because love to you is so conditional. And Satan has blocked you feeling the presence of God. He's actually blocked you being able to feel this unconditional love. You can feel the presence of God. God's love can flow in you. When you worship God and you really take the time to be with God and enter into the secret place with God, it's this awesome, awesome loving God inside of you and you know it. Wow. I love knowing that he's in there. Now you can get a counterfeit and shake and it not be God because you never learned about this unconditional. You know, you can ask to shake and the devil will shake you. You can ask to look spiritual to try to fit in, and you can look spiritual. But the real is about a relationship with a God inside of you, and you having the understanding of who he is, an understanding of this unconditional love, an understanding of how great this God is. And you just feel him from your head to your toes and all in between, and it's awesome. It's real love. It's real unconditional love that saturates you and heals the hurt places. And takes away all of the condemnation, and takes away all of the bitterness, and takes away all of the lies. We need to experience the unconditional love of God. But if the enemy has you bound to conditional love, then he's going to have walls that he can put up anytime he wants to stop you from feeling the presence of God. Why? Because you know what? If you come from the foundation and you put conditions on God. God, if you really love me, touch me. You just put a condition on him. You just basically said, if you don't touch me, if you don't make me shake, if I don't feel your presence, if you don't set me free, if you don't heal me, if you don't deliver me, then you don't love me. You put conditions. If you don't put me in ministry, if I don't get the job, if I don't get this, if I don't get that girlfriend, do you understand what I'm saying? God does not operate in conditional love. God does not operate in conditional love. But because of the woundedness in people, we have a foundation built on conditional love, and then Satan can come along anytime he wants and make us feel condemned. He comes along anytime he wants and makes us feel like God doesn't love us. See, the Bible's very clear. God has already proven his love for you in that he died for you. And he's not going to give you another sign. I think that's why the counterfeit of I believe with the gold dust and some of this stuff, it's just counterfeit. It gets the eyes off of the cross and onto things you can see. And then people are calling that love. If you need to see things to know love, just watch a baby being born. Just look at the whole unbelievable things that God has. No, it's something awesome about seeing a baby. I mean, gosh, a whole life come out of a human being. It's amazing. It's already got, you know, it's all the little parts working, and it's just unbelievable. Don't tell me for one second that there's not a God. You'd have to be totally demonized to believe there's not a God. But I don't need to see things. If I only needed to see things, the Bible says it's a wicked and perverted generation that look for a sign. And it is. And we're living in that generation. And that generation's in the church. And people are flocking to meetings to see a sign. Instead of being led by the Holy Spirit to where he can minister to them what they need to walk in unconditional love. People are still trying to have God prove something. See, if you were brought up, and most of us were, with conditions on love, there's a constant desire in you to have it proven that you're okay. Prove it to me. And so the minute the enemy attacks, you take that to say, God doesn't love me. This isn't real for me. I can't trust God. Is anybody getting anything from this? Is anybody starting to get like, ooh, I've got the whole wrong foundation. See, I believe what God is doing tonight, especially for those who've listened to a lot of the teaching, he's got the jackhammer out, and he's finally tearing down the foundation because it's the last thing to go of the house that the enemy built. But you wouldn't even be able to receive this had he not taken down the walls, had he not tore out the windows, had he not revealed himself to you. And at the same time, Christ in you has put down some true foundation. Christ in you has begun to show you. Everyone in here could probably tell of something supernatural that God did in his faithfulness to you. Somebody you could tell where you knew that God reached through everything and healed or brought a miracle or did something. So there's a real foundation in us. But what a lot of us do is we jump back and forth because we put conditions on love. We put conditions on love. We got to get healed from that. Okay. We have known and we have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and the one abiding in love abides in God and God in him. Okay. See, if our definition of love has been wrong, then it's going to be very difficult to receive God's unconditional love. It's going to be very difficult to give unconditional love back. If our thinking about love isn't right, then we can't really see God right. I just want you to stop for a second. No strings attached. He loves you. No strings attached. He'll always love you. No strings attached. God loves you. Now I'm going to get something real powerful in a minute. Listen to this. It's so cool. When I looked up this scripture after you gave me this revelation, it was all right here. I thought, wow, this is so good. 17. By what? By abiding in God's unconditional love. By understanding God's unconditional love. By entering into God's unconditional love. Okay? By abiding in Christ. By this abiding in Christ, love has been perfected with us. Now, do you understand why we have to understand unconditional love? Do you understand why we have to spend time receiving God's love and getting rid of the walls that block that and quit trying to put conditions on it and quit putting conditions on us? You need to get rid of the conditions you put on you. Well, God, if I if I do this, this, and this, then it shows I love you. You know what? Unconditional love is you can just make a choice to love him. God, I love you because I love you. Unconditionally. That is what those guys who were thrown in the furnace in Daniel. They unconditionally loved God, whether he delivered them or not. Paul had unconditional love. If I live, let me live for you, God. If I die, it's gain. Unconditional love. This isn't about if God delivers me or not. This isn't about if God heals me or not. This isn't about if God saves my family. This isn't about what God does for us. This is about who he is. See, if your whole foundation is love with conditions, then your whole relationship with God has been based on what he does for you and how he doesn't. So you're all happy, happy, happy when you first get saved and he quickly takes away some stuff. And you're like, woohoo, woohoo, this is great. And you know what you begin to do? You begin to put conditions on God. And then a couple years later, instead of being more mature, more in love with God, you're disappointed. God's failed you. You got just enough knowing he's real to not walk away. Praise God. But you're constantly playing with sin. You're constantly pulled back to sin because you're in the wrong house. I don't mean in church here. So I'll go, oh, let's leave. No, you're in the house that's built inside of you by the enemy. Some of you, I see you standing in that house and the walls have been blown down. The attic is off. Some of you are standing on a concrete foundation, or whatever. Concrete foundation. Thank you, God. And there's no house left, but you're still standing there. God, I don't know what's happened. It was so good. Even when these walls came down, it was really good. I know you're real because I saw the walls come down. But where are you now? Holy Spirit's over here. I'm in this house. I'm over here. I tore all those walls down because it's unconditional. But at some point, you've got to decide to get in the right house, the house the Holy Spirit's building. Jesus Christ will not build a house with conditions. I'm going to tell you something in a minute. Because you can see where bondage looks so close to the real. See, by the Spirit, you got to get this. Because I have to make you see something by the Spirit that your brain would think is the same as conditions. I'm going to show you in a minute. Because I know some of you are already thinking it. Yeah, but how come this and how come? I'm going to show you in a minute. How does she know that? Because his unconditional love is in me. By this, abiding in him, receiving his love, unconditionally receiving his love, unconditionally receiving his love, unconditionally, no conditions, no strings, no unconditioned. He loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me. I want to see some of you, I see in the Spirit. You're over in this house and you're going, he loves me over there. He loves me, he loves me. He loves me, loves me, loves me. By this, love has been perfected with us that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he is, we are also in this world. When you get a hold of unconditional love, you're going to get confidence. You're going to get confidence that sin has been put on the cross. You're going to get confidence that you're not going to backslide. You're going to get confidence that this is not going to be difficult to keep living for God. It would be more difficult not to live for God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All of a sudden, you're on the right foundation. All of a sudden, it's about, hey, I am loved. I am loved. I don't have to believe the lies anymore that I'm not loved. I don't have to believe the lies anymore that God did a mean thing when he made me. That God was wrong when he made me this gender or this color or put me in this nation or gave me this parents. See, all those lies are gone. All those conditions that we've placed on God that led to bitterness. It's the conditions that you place on God that lead you to bitterness because God is not operating under your control. He's not the God of your imagination. He's the God of his word. He is who he says he is, and he knows who he is. and you're not going to manipulate him. You're not going to control him. You're not going to use all those devices of the enemy to try to pull love out of him that you've done in relationships. Because he's already, there's no love to pull out of him. He's already poured it out. There's something about knowing that you're loved that gives you confidence in your relationship with God. I remember this PhD guy who was a counselor. You know, I know I'm being ugly, but sometimes these counselors are in that field because they're so messed up, and you probably shouldn't listen to a lot of their counseling unless it comes straight from here. And I remember he's sitting there talking to my husband, and my husband opened up because he felt like somebody was really caring and listening to him, even though it was kind of a game, and it hurt my husband later. But this person was sitting there saying, well, now don't you want to be more spiritual so that, you know, your wife, you know, will love you more, and so that, you know, she won't leave you because of this hurt, and don't you think you need to get over stuff? And he went on. I said, would you shut up? And I looked right at my husband, and I said, I want you to know something. I love you unconditionally. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. By God's grace, I will never leave you. I love you unconditionally. And if you get healed from the hurts of losing your daughter, and you get healed from the fear and the things that has been in your life, I want you free for you. And so you can really know God, but don't do it for me. Don't do it for me. You don't listen to him. And I said, I break the power of what you said. I will never leave you if you stay wounded, if you stay hurt from things that have happened in your life. You can know one thing. I will stay with you no matter what. That's the kind of marriage everybody needs. You need unconditional love or it's not going to work. If you don't have unconditional love, the enemy has way too much power to constantly bring strife and division. When John and I got married, before we hardly knew God, we made one agreement. We would never divorce each other, no matter what. We just made that agreement. I'm amazed at the stuff we talked about. I knew God, but nothing like I do now. I'm amazed at the stuff we already talked about. You know, this dating things, folks, this dating stuff is not about lust and playing around and jumping into relationships that then the devil just has a heyday. You know what dating is? It's supposed to be about finding out if you agree on the important things about life, finding out if you're really the one that God is bringing together, can walk through anything, can go through anything by his love and his grace, being equally yoked by your understanding of who you are in Christ. And so John and I had already decided how, you know, basically I would stay home with the kids till a certain age because we wanted the mom at home, that he would help me get my education, you know, we decided things. We spent the time talking about the things that mattered. And then when things have come along in life, they've already been settled. Now, if we could do that hardly knowing God and weather 30-some years of marriage with the death of a child, a sick child for over 14 years, plus being thrown out of some churches, which was some of the most difficult trials, being slandered, and we still are committed to one another, but love each other because love is unconditional. And if only one person has a revelation of God and his love, then that's enough love to keep that marriage together. And I'm preaching tonight. And you need that kind of unconditional love for your children. Let me tell you what, unconditional love is not disciplining your children. The Bible says you hate them if you don't discipline them, because you set them up to be their own God. We need to understand what God says. I don't really care what the psychiatrist or the talk show host say. I totally, totally want to know what God says. And by his spirit, it's real and it's true. And God is breaking down walls tonight, because I think all of us have lived a little bit in the unconditional love house and in the condition. It should be that way for everything in your life. The people who work here because of God's unconditional love that flows in this place, they are not worried about job security. We don't play that kind of game. That's a world ruling it over, lording it over kind of thing. No, if God brings somebody here, only God can take somebody from here. Does that mean you'll never fire somebody? No, it means I'll do whatever the Lord shows me to do, but I'll know that it's God, and they'll know that it's God. But if you have to live with a constant fear and no security, see, lack of security is what's missing in so many of your lives. You're insecure. Your children are insecure because you've lived in this place of conditional love. Your friendships, relationships, everything's, you know, you can walk in love no matter what somebody else does. What we need to do is get our needs met in Christ, and then we can be that fountain of unconditional love coming into other people's lives. I can be that unconditional love. I can bring that to my children. If I have a spouse who can't walk there yet, and I'm going to say my husband has a lot of unconditional love. He's put up with a lot. And I've always known I was loved. My kids have always known they were loved. But God's breaking us freer and freer to mature in him. See, that's what this is all about. If it's really God, you get so much freer to love. By this, abiding in love, that love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he is, we also will be in this world. If you are really letting unconditional love change you, you're getting excited about being a Christian. You know that you know that by next year, you're going to walk in more love than you walk in this year. You know that you're going to be able to love people more next year than you can this year, but you don't. You have that hope. You have that confidence. You have that knowing, okay, maybe I haven't had that big breakthrough with God yet, but I know I have confidence it's coming because I am receiving unconditional love. Tonight, God's just going to pour out. We're going to receive unconditional love in a little bit. We're going to put on a soaking song, and we're just going to receive unconditional love. Unconditional, unconditional, unconditional. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. This love is unconditional. All right, now listen to this. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Let's change it to unconditional love casts out fear. Look at this, because fear has punishment. And the one fearing has not been perfected in love. It doesn't say they're not saved. It doesn't say they don't belong to God. It says they have not been matured or perfected in that love. We love him. Now listen to this. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one not loving his brother whom he has seen, how is he able to love God whom he has not seen? And we have this commandment from him, that the one who loves God loves his brother. So that's the key. The key is how you can love other people. Do you want to know who has the real thing with God? The person who can love the unlovely, according to man's definition. That's who has the real thing with God, according to the Word of God. Not the person who can preach the best, not the person who can shout the loudest, not the person who seems to have the most power, but the person who can love. See, when I asked the Lord for compassion, I was asking him for his love. And I'm just a really slow learner. And I had to go through a lot to let this hardness that was on my heart, through spiritual abuse, through not understanding some things, through being high-minded. That was a big thing with me. High-minded just hardened my heart. My thinking was, well, I got over it, so can they. Well, God will make a way, let him make their way. So I don't have to be involved. You know, I don't want to have to actually care about people that much. That would be too painful. And Lord began to remind me the other night, he goes, Cindy, do you want to know who you really are? He said, you were saved at 7, and you would sit there and you would cry. You would cry for people. You would cry that you didn't know I healed, you didn't know how to help them, but your heart says they need help. The Lord said, you know, you had a cousin who was severely handicapped, and you loved her unconditionally. You hung out with her. You saw the good in her. You tried to protect her. The Lord said, this is who you are. You're not who this person who was hurt and jealous tried to make you into. You're not who, but you had that mean thing in you because you believed that more than you believed who I said who you were.